Well, I was told a little differently than what I was just heard. I was told that the people that will be coming here are pretty much experienced devotees, and so I can do what I want. But I'll backtrack a little bit, especially because many of you are accustomed to hearing me speak a lot. I thought I would speak a little bit more about something that I just did, when I left Chicago and a few other places in America, that I went to India and took part in our GBC meeting. And that was interesting. The main, just give you a little how the GBC meeting works. The actual meeting is for 7 days. And we're going through whatever we're going through, some planned agenda. But because all the GBC members come together, GBC means Governing Body Commission. I'll go back. During Prabhupada's presence, he wanted that this international society, international association of devotees that he had created, would stay together after he left. So he deliberately planned, I don't think it's going to work to have him right in the front. He can, I tell you what, take him over there and bring some of those people over here. Krishna Chaitanya, guess what? We got a special seat for you right over there. Right over there. Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Chaitanya. Right over there. You'll be able to hear everything. We'll still hear you, don't worry. You'll make enough noise, we'll be able to hear you just fine. There we go. Look at all the space. Don't be shy. Come on, some space. Okay. Krishna, come on in. You got to watch your son up there?
Yeah, he's...
You're watching your son? Your son's watching you?
He's the one in here.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay. Look at that. He's moved in. He moved in. Look at that. Okay. So during Prabhupada's presence, he very clearly, repeatedly, we've documented for posterity's purpose. It's 186 pages. 186 pages of explaining the concept of the governing body commission that Prabhupada had when he was still in India. He formed the League of Devotees. Someone donated, kind of half donated, and then took it back, a property in Jhansi. And so he established a charter, League of Devotees, and it had this international scope, because Prabhupada had the vision at the time. And within the League of Devotees, there's elements of how it would carry on after his departure. And he didn't call it the Governing Body Commission, but he had the concept, because it was a concept that was given by his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So when Prabhupada came to America, and then Europe, and then Australia, and around the world, he formed... Initially, it was 12 governing body commission members. In the first meeting, formal meeting, he issued a proclamation in 1970 called Directives of Management, and then 71 reconfirmed it, and then 75 they had their first meeting. And parliamentary procedure, Prabhupada raised his hand along with everybody else. They took a vote and established the GBC, the first meeting. We have these big, really from India, really thick books that are as big as like this, and with the minutes of our meetings from 1975. And then in 1977, Srila Prabhupada wrote his final will. And the first item in his final will states that the governing body commission shall be the ultimate managing authority for the entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness globally. Whatever he had created through his influence, spiritual influence, he officially was legally turning over to the governing body commission. So we have annual meetings. And the meetings have expanded a bit. They've expanded to 7 days, because previously it was fewer days. But, you know, to oversee a worldwide organization, it takes some time. So I'm one of those members. And because everyone comes together, then there's like this committee, that committee, the other committee. There's the BBT, the publishing division of ISKCON. They meet. And there's a BBT-GBC relations committee. Like, how does ISKCON and the BBT work together? How do we work cooperatively? Because they're two separate entities, legally. The intellectual property rights are held by the BBT, and the customer is ISKCON. We buy books from the BBT, and then they give money back to ISKCON. It's for expansion purposes. It's something that the Prabhupada set up. They call it a construction fund. Some percentage of the cost of books go to this construction fund, and then BBT gives it to the GBC, and the GBC decides how to help expand construction-wise, new temples, renovation, things like that. And then there's different things that have, you know, other committees that meet. So going back about 5 years ago, we've annually been having meetings from the time of Srila Prabhupada, from 1975 to our present time, and still continue having these annual meetings. And it's like, you know, there's the minutes of the meetings are filed with the government of West Bengal, because it's a legal entity. I don't know what you call it in India, but a charitable trust or something like that. Something like that. So we file the minutes, and, you know, the election of officers and all the, you know, according to our bylaws, we do all of that and file it. So about 5 years ago, the person who was, we have officers that are elected each year, and the executive committee officers thought, there's part of what we're supposed to be doing, a big part of what we're supposed to be doing that we're not doing. And that is, we're not thinking globally. We're not thinking how to plan our future globally. So we held a second meeting 5 years ago in the summer, because normally these meetings are just before Gaur Purnima, followed by, we have a big Gaur Purnima festival in Mayapur in West Bengal. So where Lord Chaitanya appeared. So this summer, about 5 years ago, we gathered together to talk about what should the... Because, like, my responsibility as a governing body commissioner for the Midwest is I look after the spiritual standards of the temples in the Midwest, and growth and care of the devotees and so forth. That's my zonal responsibility or regional responsibility. But what about the world? There are some things that the top leadership, the ultimate managing authority of the whole of ISKCON, needs to be thinking about globally. Like, where do we want to go? You know, strategic planning. So we got together in Italy, one of our temples in Italy, and we started an effort of strategic planning. And everyone felt, wow, this is really overdue. Let's do this, a second meeting annually. And then the person that was giving leadership to that discussion was a devotee who had been the temple president in Los Angeles at the time that Prabhupada had established that as his world headquarters. And then later that same person, after marriage and his third child, he realized, I need to spend a step out of the presidency role and take responsibility more for earning to take care of my family and three children. So then he had some corporate experience or entrepreneurial experience. What he did was, he found businesses that were failing. He bought the businesses, turned the businesses around till they were successful, and then sold them. It's an interesting business. Then he looked around and found failing businesses and bought them and made them successful and then sold them. And then he found one that he liked. So he kept it and then grew it until it had like 3,000 employees and an income of X amount per year. And so he had his worldly experiences of taking something that was ailing and analyzing what it needs to make it successful and work on making it successful. So that was a really good person to help us with strategic planning. How do we go forward into the future? It's because he knew devotional life. He had been a temple president. And he knew, you know, the part that most devotees don't know about, at least those of us that lived entirely our lives in service to Prabhupada in our temples, like how the corporate world works, and you know how to grow an organization into a successful entity. It has many franchises all over the country and so on. And he's the owner of the business. So with that skill, he helped us plan strategic planning. So we added some days to our annual meeting, expanded it from 7 to 10. 3 days for strategic planning. Actually, it was 4 days because one of the teams that we decided to work on was team building. Like, you know, we work well in our zones, but we don't necessarily work well globally. And one of the ways to work well globally is with teams of people helping each other do something globally. So we have team building committee, and they lead us in, you know, ways of helping to strengthen team building skills. So that's just a little background, and because I'm part of a number of committees, I was there for the longest stretch I've been in Mayapur so far. It was 19 days. It's like one day longer than the Kurukshetra battle. Of extended meetings. You know, very productive. Lots of good things came. And on the strategic planning days, there were four of them, there were the secretary of the strategic planning group. Some of you may know her, Lakshmi Moni Mataji. She gathered some material from Prabhupada's lectures and his letters and compiled it under four themes. So I was thinking I would just share with you one of those mornings. So when we have our morning meeting, we start with Guru Puja and Kirtan. In the meeting hall, we have a murti of Srila Prabhupada, full life-size murti. That's the first thing, kirtan for Srila Prabhupada. And then we take our seats, and it's like there's this rule that says, okay, stop shuffling papers and, you know, put your pens down, and undivided attention, no side conversation. We want to be able to hear a pin drop because we're going to hear Srila Prabhupada speaking. And I'm going to read to you just what, hopefully that's what we have here. Very good. On one of the four themes, and if you just, I don't know, if you have a good at listening or good at imagining that you're Prabhupada's disciple, and he's instructing you, or that you're a leader. And Prabhupada is training you through his instructions how to look after the organization that he created. You're one of his, one of the elder sons of the father, and he has many, many sons, and he wants you to make sure, like, you know, Rishabhdev speaking to the 100 sons headed by Bharat Maharaj, because they have to look after the planet. And there's giving some very personal, meaningful instructions, because after Rishabhdev spoke, he turned the kingdom over to Bharat, and he lived in the palace for some time, and then he moved out of the palace and just became a wandering mendicant avaduta, practically. So, you consider yourself to be a disciple from Prabhupada, hearing from him how to look after that which he has created, this spiritual association of devotees. So I'm just going to read, and you can listen with that kind of a mindset. So there are four headings that were created or selected, and then Lakshmi Moni stitched together different passages. So as you hear it, it sounds like it's one narration. The heading is cooperation. I am also glad to note that a meeting of all the presidents was held just recently in order to unify the temples. That is the process. Unless we work cooperatively, how this movement will go on? So, my request to you all is that you maintain that spirit of cooperation always and help me to deliver Lord Chaitanya's message all over the globe. So I thank you very much, all of you, for appreciating my humble service, which I am trying to render as a matter of duty to my Guru Maharaj, as he has ordered me. I request all my disciples to work cooperatively, and I'm sure our mission will advance without any doubt. I'm very glad that you are trying, with all the other GBC members, to maintain all the various functions of our very large organization up to the standard as I have set for you. This is most important. So please, always work cooperatively for this end. You write to describe me as a loving servant of the Lord. If you believe me so, then kindly help me in my service. That will help both of us. I want your cooperation fully. Lord Chaitanya, although Krishna himself appealed to his friends and helpers to help him in his mission, and what to speak of me? I am just an ordinary human being, so I need your help. Now our society is growing very rapidly all over the world, and the burden of administration is taxing me too much and taking too much time. So I want that you all GBC men work cooperatively to manage things now, along with the other officers, and it is better if devotees can address their questions to you. And because I have now given you everything, you are able to answer all such questions from what you know. And if there is any difficulty, you may consult my books, or you may write me if necessary. Good manager means he is able to satisfy everyone and live in cooperative manner with all the devotees. So, if you manage things nicely, every devotee can do tremendous work. By association with undesirable companions, we have learned so many bad habits, and similarly, by association with pure persons or devotees, we can become purified of our acquired bad habits. So, constant association and working cooperatively with devotees is the prime and easy method to relearn our original good habit of Krishna consciousness. now we are growing, and if we work cooperatively, our strength will also grow, and then the mission will not be checked in its progress. Please continue to cooperatively join with the Philadelphia Temple and other temples for spreading Krishna consciousness by Mahasankirtan, festivals like Janmashtami to be celebrated at New Vrindavan. I want that all my students will cooperate fully for expanding our movement, and in this way, every center will be benefited. Please keep the association of your good God brothers and sisters and work very cooperatively with them for pushing on this movement. If you are always engaged seriously in Krishna service, Krishna will give you all opportunity for advancing in Krishna consciousness or blissful spiritual life. Study our literatures carefully and try to understand the philosophy nicely. And if you have any questions, you can ask them of the elder devotees who know the science. I have duly chanted on the beads sent by you as they are returned to you, and they are returned to you herewith. Please always follow very strictly the regulative principles and chant 16 rounds of Maha Mantra daily on the beads. Study our literatures attentively and try to understand the philosophy nicely with the help of your God brothers. Always work cooperatively to spread Krishna consciousness movement and chant Hare Krishna, and your life will be sublime. I've heard from others that you are doing very nicely and you are making life members also. This is very good news to me. I am making many sannyasis here in America, and I am convinced that our movement must run on this extensive traveling and preaching system. You must work cooperatively. How to perform this valuable service in the best way by utilizing all our men and time very wisely. Push on vigorously, especially in the matter of distributing our literatures widely throughout India, and showing always a good example of real Krishna conscious way of life. Today I have received one telephone call from Giriraj, and he has informed me that there is some disagreement among you leaders there in our Bombay center. This is not at all a pleasant situation for anyone. I am trusting this huge task to all of you for working together cooperatively, for doing something wonderful. I can understand that you are responsible and cool-headed among the others, so you take the hand in reconciling all differences. Now you are my elder disciples, and both of you are sannyasis and also advanced in Krishna consciousness, so these questions should not arise among you again and again. That means everyone is not conscientious. These things are not new to you. Why do you continually ask these questions? The GBC authority must be accepted under all circumstances. Not that there will be fighting amongst you. This fighting spirit will destroy everything. But what can I do? You American and European boys are trained up in this fighting attitude. Now put aside and simply work cooperatively for spreading this movement all over the world. The standards I have already given you, now try to maintain them at all times under standard procedure. Do not try to innovate or create anything or manufacture anything. That will ruin everything. Simply do as I am doing and be always serious and sincere to serve Krishna, and he will give you intelligence how to do everything. And one more page in almost. I thank you very much for installing Radha Giridhari. From my childhood, I was very much fond of Radha Krishna, and now my good disciples are helping me to open so many Radha Krishna temples all over the world. It gives me so much pleasure. Now introduce Rathyatra. That was my childhood activity. I want to see my disciples all over the world introduce two items, namely opening Radha Krishna temples and Rath Yatra festivals. Do this under the protection of Guru Gauranga. Please do everything cooperatively, for you will be happy, your countrymen will be happy, and all living entities will be happy. If one waters the root, then all the branches, twigs, and leaves are automatically nourished. That is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Now I want all of you to work cooperatively, and very frankly, that is our process. Not that we shall always plot and scheme and write letters. Madhavisa is GBC man for South Pacific Zone, so his direction must be followed for everyone, and all of the devotees there should address their problems to him for their consideration, for his consideration. Then he writes to Madhavisa, try to convince them to return to our society and work cooperatively. That they have gone away is not a good thing, and it is a deviation from our line of parampara. Rather, avoid fault-finding and anarchy. They should keep our standards and work maturely, and not cause factions and splitting. I am not at all pleased at what they have done, but if they return, let us forget what has happened and go forward. As sannyasis, they may preach, and you may manage affairs. That will be very nice. We have got so much vital spiritual knowledge to distribute to the public, and they are in desperate need of it. The whole world is going to hell, and everyone is suffering in light of this. How can we argue amongst one another and neglect our responsibility for reclaiming these fallen souls, for going back home, back to Godhead? Whatever is done is done. The main thing, we must not carry grudges or continue to quarrel amongst one another. So I am asking you, personally, along with Tamal Krishna Goswami, to whom I am sending a copy of this letter, to bury the hatchet. You know that phrase, bury the hatchet? The young people know, and the older people I don't think know. It's this is what I know about it. There's a at least one version is an American Indian custom was when there was declaration of war, they would throw down the hatchet. Like in European time, it was throw down the gauntlet. If you're like, you know, you have your sword, so you take your glove off your hand and you throw the glove down, like, you know, come out and fight. So the peace arrangement is you bury the hatchet. You literally, they would dig a hole and put the hatchet in the ground and cover up the hole, and that means, like, let's stop fighting. Smoke a peace pipe. So the problem with burying the hatchet is to not remember where you buried the hatchet and go dig it up again. So Prabhupada is borrowing that phrase, bury the hatchet. There's some conflict, bury the hatchet. And join together to push on this movement cooperatively. I am requesting you, therefore, to concentrate on preaching in Kirtan and work cooperatively with Tamal Krishna Goswami, who is in charge there. Whatever imperfections or discrepancies may exist, if you all agree to my directions and cooperate in the right spirit, then everything will turn out. But it will require everyone involved to be responsible and cooperate in executing and following the instructions of the spiritual master. Pushing on this movement, I had to face so many difficulties throughout. Since I left my home, I lived in Delhi and at Sakur Basti, because the rent was cheaper there, and I could not even take an apartment in Delhi. Then I was provided a room at Chippiwada, Radha Krishna Temple, wherein I was able to keep my publication office. But by Krishna's grace, we are situated on a standard solid footing. Let us remain in this position cooperatively and always pray to Krishna that we may not spoil what Krishna has already given us. Try to make improvement more and more. Just a little bit more. In regards to your question about the relationship between a sannyasi and the temple president should be, my hope is that you will all be able to cooperate together. The temple president is in charge, and the sannyasi should not contradict the instructions. Although, if he does see something wrong, or if he sees a fault or defect, he should bring it out directly to the temple president, and then work out in a Krishna conscious way. Not that he will try to override the temple president's authority. I want you to all work cooperatively together. Now we have, by Krishna's grace, built up something significant in the shape of this ISKCON, and we are all one family. Sometimes there may be disagreement and quarrel, but we should not go away. These inebrieties can be adjusted by the cooperative spirit, tolerance, and maturity. So I request you to kindly remain in the association of our devotees and work together. The test of our actual dedication and sincerity to serve the spiritual master will be in this mutual cooperative spirit to push on this movement and not make factions and deviate. So, we shall not think that this is my zone, that is his zone, just like the India and Pakistan nations are thinking. And then there is war. No. Lord Chaitanya has given us the task to spread his message all over the world, and any process which may be useful for facilitating this business, that we shall gladly adopt, never mind his zone or my zone. That is material designation. But we shall always do everything in cooperative spirit and avoid any fighting amongst us. That is Vaishnava attitude, because Lord Chaitanya has advised us to always offer all respects to others, especially to the devotees of the Lord. Ours is a cooperative movement with Krishna and the advancement of Krishna's movement at the center, and we must continue to sell as many books as possible, but discuss everything amongst yourselves and do it nicely without irritating anyone. That is the art. Concluding selection. Please, do your duty combinedly without any disruption of peaceful attitudes amongst yourselves. We are pushing our movement on the background of a peaceful atmosphere in the world, and if we show a little disturbance at our own camp, that will not be a very good example. Therefore, everyone should be forbearing, tolerant, and cooperative. That is my special request to you all. So this is some meditation that we had on our first day of strategic planning. With the very clear understanding that a worldwide organization, I mean, within your workplace or within your family or within whatever group of people that come together, what to speak of a worldwide organization, there's going to be something. It's just the nature of the individuality that we all possess, and as well the shortcomings and defects that we all possess. There's bound to be something that causes some friction. And what to speak of, again, an international society with different cultures, different languages, completely different value systems depending upon those cultures and where people come from, and the individuality, diversity, it's like mind-boggling. When we have our morning classes in Mayapur during the festival time, it's like United Nations. There's simultaneous translation going on in about 15 different languages. It's not done in a sophisticated way with headphones and just dial, you know, what language you want and person's mouth is going and you're hearing the translator simultaneously translating. They sit in little circles and there's like, you know, it's interesting to see. Or when we have our, just after the GBC meeting, we have 3 days of festival, like classes and seminars and that kind of thing. And then they do the Navadvipa Parikrama, which means for 7 days, the devotees leave the campus, the temple area, and they camp out in different places for 7 days and don't come back. And all the cooking is coordinated through the temple. Just to give you some idea, there are four different groups in four different primary languages with sub languages. And the total number of people that are going out every day with meals three times a day is around 10,000 people. So when you're organizing a Janmashtami or a Rath Yatra, and it's a lot of cooking for one day, maybe, you know, 250 people, 300 people, maybe, you know, sometimes more, maybe 500 people. This is 10,000 people three times a day for 7 days. And it's not in one place. It's in different places every day. You know, the English group, it was around 900. The Hindi group was around 1,000. The Russian group was around 3,000. And the Bengali group was around 4,000. I think that adds up to 10. Something close to it. So that all the cooking takes place in my... Anyway, so... And then within, depending on who wants to be in which group, they have, like, you know, the Chinese have their translation going, and the Spanish devotees from South America, they have their translation going, and the French devotees and the Italian devotees, and, you know, the Ukrainians, they have their own special, because it's like they can hear and understand the Russian, but they like it here in Ukrainian, and so they have the Ukrainian group, and it's fascinating. And so you can only imagine, well, the volunteers from the Mayapur temple, they have 80 full-time devotees doing full-time service, and then they have volunteers, another like 150, just to do all that. For the cooking and transporting and serving and setting up the camp with each of the places they go, and it's a lot. And then it's not over. Then they come back to Mayapur after the Navadvipa Parikrama. Then they have a couple more days of festival in Gaura Purnima. Yeah, they have to accommodate everybody. Anyway. Just even one thing, like the septic. You know, what do you do? It's, you know, challenging. So, the proportion of service of looking after an international society for Krishna consciousness during Prabhupada's time. In 1977, when he left this world, there were very close to 108 temples. Because it was like, that was the saying, at least we have 108 temples. It was close to that. Now the number of temples is over 600 temples worldwide. What to speak of, like, you know, what's in Naperville isn't counted as one of them. We're counting that as a preaching center. Because a temple means, like Chicago temple is a temple. It's an install of deities where there's regular standard worship. So close to 600 of such of those. So like what's in Champaign-Urbana, that's also not one of the 600. That's a preaching center. There's lots of nice activity going on there, but it's not... So aside from the 600 temples, there's lots of other things that are part of ISKCON, and to look after it is quite a challenge. And I'll just say a couple of things. One was, 2 years ago, I was the GBC chairman. And that was an interesting experience. And I was thinking during the course of being GBC chairman that everyone should at least for 1 year be the GBC chairman. They get a sense of what the global picture is like. I learned a lot. I didn't sleep a lot, but I learned a lot of and deep appreciation for what Prabhupada did, because then, you know, at least now we have a structure, and then Prabhupada was just creating the structure that he was the leader of. And one of the things that he said at just before his departure was something very similar to the quotes that I read, and the experienced devotees have heard this many times. He said, "The measure of your love for me after my departure will be how much you cooperate together with one another in my absence." That has been said probably 10 million times since his departure, because it's a challenge. This is the age of Kali, the age of quarrel at the drop of a pin, or not even a drop of a pin, at no cause whatsoever. Persons will quarrel with each other. It's the nature of this age. It's the nature. Like, you know, when it's summer, it's warm, and when it's winter, it's cold, and when it's Kali Yuga, people quarrel. It's just the nature of the time. So, the measure of your love for me will be how much you cooperate with one another after I have gone. And I'll say one other thing. It's a nice story. Again, many of you have probably heard this before. But mentioned in these letters that Prabhupada wrote was a devotee named Giriraj. And Giriraj, I have deep affection for. One of the reasons was he helped train me in Krishna consciousness when I first became a devotee. When I first became a devotee, it was in the Boston temple. And he was a young brahmachari at the time. And he was the sankirtan leader, and he trained me in, you know, after his departure, I became the sankirtan leader. And he was the one that did the purchasing of the vegetables at the vegetable market, and he trained me to do that. And he was the purchaser of the flowers in the flower market, and he trained me to do that. He trained me a lot in Krishna consciousness. And because shortly after I had joined the Boston Temple, which was the summer of 1970, Prabhupada wanted to start a world Harinam party. So he called for the strongest single person in every temple that he had to come and join him in India, where he wanted to inaugurate the World Sankirtan Party. So Giriraj Maharaj was going to leave, and so he trained me to do all of those services so that he could leave. And I was like this really new guy. He was like this. But somehow I had this service to do on behalf of the temple. And after some years, Giriraj Maharaj became the temple president of the Juhu Temple. But actually, they had the land in ISKCON's name, but the person was obstructing the construction of the temple, the former owner of the land. So during that period of time, just to give you some idea of Giriraj Maharaj's nature, I didn't know this at the time, but his father was a multimillionaire. And his father sent to Giriraj a letter. His name was Glenn. "Dear Glenn, leave the Hare Krishna movement and I'll give you $1 million. Just like that. Just leave the Hare Krishna movement and I'll give you $1 million. And he wrote his father back saying, "No thanks, Dad." And some persons might have said, "Well, why didn't you just like leave the Hare Krishna movement, take the $1 million and come back to the Hare Krishna movement?" He said, I can't be dishonest with my father. I wouldn't leave the Hare Krishna movement. So I wouldn't accept his $1 million." And Prabhupada showed this to all the industrialists that he was meeting in Bombay. Just see. If someone offered you $1 million to do something, would you refuse it? You're businessmen, you're industrialists. But look, see this Giriraj. His father has offered him $1 million and he's declining. No, I want to stay loyal to practice of bhakti yoga. That was his character. Not the best of managers, but very, very, very wonderful devotee. So finally the permission was granted from the high court, whatever it was, the people that give permission to establish, to build the temple. So the temple construction began. And Prabhupada was very concerned that they were actually complete the temple construction. And by the time 1977 came, when his health was very bad, he went for the final, like the grand opening of the Juhu Temple. That was like in January of 1977. And Prabhupada left his body in November of 1977. He just stopped eating. And saying, you know, Prabhupada, if you don't eat, you won't live. And he said, well, what's the use of this body anyway? It's not functioning. And he was very detached. He just stopped eating. Krishna's calling me and I'm going. Anyway, Giriraj would come once a month from Bombay by train to Vrindavan to give Prabhupada a report about what was happening in Bombay, because Prabhupada considered Bombay a very, very dear project to him, the Juhu Temple. So he came by train, overnight train, came in the morning, took his bath, came to Prabhupada's quarters, because he was just lying down, he couldn't move, and very softly spoke to Srila Prabhupada and answered his questions about what was happening in Bombay. And then went to the Jamuna, took his bath, and, you know, visited some of the holy places, and at night he took rest. And those of you that are familiar with the ISKCON property in Vrindavan, he took rest on the roof of the Gurukul building, which is like, you know, you go out the front door of the temple, make a left, and there's the Gurukul compound. So he was up on the roof. At midnight, someone woke him up. It was Prabhupada's servant. And Prabhupada's servant said, Prabhupada wants to speak to you. Come at once. And Giriraj Maharaj was like, his heart was pounding, thinking, Prabhupada may be leaving his body and he wants to pass on some message to me. Because he had that kind of an intimate relationship with Prabhupada. So that was his mindset. Prabhupada he's going to leave. So he took his bath and put on fresh cloth and went into Prabhupada's room and paid obeisances, and Prabhupada was lying down. So now it's like 12:30 in the morning. And in a very low, deep voice, Prabhupada said, Giriraj, will this movement be able to go on without me? How do you answer a question like that to your spiritual master? Do you say, we can live without you? But you can't say, no, we can't live without you. Because he was leaving. So he didn't want him to like leave in an unhappy note. So Giriraj Maharaj said to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you've always taught us that if we chant our 16 rounds and follow strictly the regulative principles, everything will go on very nicely. So I have faith in your words. If we simply do those two things, everything will go on very nicely by your grace. And Prabhupada was silent. And then he made a sound. And then he spoke and said, intelligence and organization. This is necessary in order to continue this movement in my absence. And Giriraj Maharaj is, I'll say it again, he's not the best of managers. He knows that, so I don't mind saying it in his absence. He's not the best of managers. But he's so sincere, so completely sincere and dedicated and loyal and faithful. So Prabhupada chose him to share those very important words. Prabhupada created a structure, the international society for Krishna consciousness, and with it a structure for governing that society, the organization, and intelligence. So to move forward the mission of that organization, like when the first corporation was registered in New York City in July of 1966, Prabhupada didn't want to just have an unincorporated organization, he wanted to have legally recognized organization. So according to the laws of the state of New York, where the first temple was, you file a 501c3, a not-for-profit corporation. According to New York state law, you have to have a statement of purposes. So he listed seven. And they're very famous, the purposes for ISKCON. Those purposes for ISKCON are going to be going into our constitution, which isn't the same, because each, in America at least, in India it's different, there's one organization, one charitable organization for the whole of India, because that's India law. Within America, each organization is separately incorporated with separate directors and its own bylaws and articles of incorporation and so on. But the purposes are the same. So to further those purposes, there's a structure. And it takes very careful consideration, and what this message here is cooperation. Leadership that has some authority, invested by Srila Prabhupada, and according to the standards that Prabhupada gave, moving those purposes forward, and then cooperating under that leadership that Srila Prabhupada gave. That's the system that he wanted. He wanted qualified people in the leadership position, but he wanted those who are assisting or following those leaders to follow the leaders and work cooperatively under their direction. It's a challenge in the age of Kali. It's a challenge to find qualified leadership. It's challenge to find qualified followers. Challenge to find people that are ready to cooperate with the person next to them, or their spouse, or their family members, or cooperate with anyone. It's a challenge, because this is the age of Kali. But these are standards that Srila Prabhupada enshrined, as you heard, like, repeated thematic message, how important this element of carrying forward, because part of our strategic planning, this was at the front end of each of the mornings of our strategic planning, how do we build a better future? What do we want our future to be like? And what's our methodology to get there? These were some very important components in accomplishing that. So here in Naperville, there's a nice center. Krishna just kind of manifested it. It was very interesting. Just those of you that may not know the history, we had this little place in Oswego that was a house, a single family residential house, and the model was, at least I was thinking, like in our New Jersey center, we got a single-family residential house, and it has been existing as their center since 1983, and here it is, 2011. They still have that single-family house. It's bigger than that one in Oswego, but it was kind of like a bridge arrangement until they grew, and then they outgrew. So now they have some land where they're trying to build a temple on that land. That's like, 28 years later? More. Is it 38? 28 years later. So here we got the center in Oswego, and then Krishna didn't give us 28 years to outgrow it. This other place just kind of descended. One devotee in our congregation in Chicago is a real estate agent, and he just kind of was looking around and found a Baptist church that was on like fire sale. Not exactly, but it wasn't even listed. And the listing price was at least what I understood from Stoker Krishna at the time, that it's like half the price for the price of land in Naperville, even without a building on it. So Krishna just dropped it in our lap and we said, yes. And now we're trying to like get up to speed to properly utilize that facility Krishna dropped in our lap. So Krishna wants something, but to do that something that Krishna just dropped in our lap and wants us to do, it's going to take a lot of cooperation, a lot of quality thinking and communicating and interacting to establish systems and teams and relationships and communication channels and so many things that they're nice things in service to Krishna. So we can utilize that space, and I'm confident all of that will happen. Little bumps in the road here and there as we get there, but we'll outgrow that nice little cinder block building and need something bigger. We have already the land to do that something bigger. We can just like learn to work cooperatively together and develop, utilize the facility, develop the opportunity that's there, and think how we can accommodate all the extra people that are going to be coming as, in course of time. Give us some number of years. I don't think it'll take 28 years to outgrow the facility because the location is so close. How close is that place from your home?
It's 7 minutes walk.
7 minutes walk. Okay. Okay. Less to ride a bicycle.
Yeah, that's the plan.
And less to drive.
Yes.
But for the parking, maybe you'll just walk.
Yeah.
And for some other people, Krishna and Sarita, they bought a house. How long ago did you buy the house?
5 years.
5 years ago. Then contract jobs took them here, there, and other places and came back and found, whoa, look at this, there's a temple. How far from your house?
5 miles.
5 miles.
So 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes.
10-15 minute drive.
Right.
Etc. I mean, the location is great, the land is there, the building is already there. How close is your house?
Less than a mile.
Another mile away. So you have a 10 minute walk, huh?
5 minutes, yeah. 5 minutes drive.
Drive. Okay. The location is fantastic. The facility is simple, it's not like anything extravagant or anything, but it's adequate. And so much opportunity if there's this nice cooperative spirit. So I thought, main thing I wanted to do was share some thoughts of that Srila Prabhupada expressed on, and that we as GBC members were meditating upon and trying to, you know, carry out what Prabhupada wanted. So now I'm just passing that on to all of you. See the Prabhupada key.